Welcome to Base by Base, the papercast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to follow and rate us in your podcast app.
Glad to be here.
So, to start off, I want you to just imagine a number for a second. Globally, there are 149.2 million children under the age of five who suffer from stunting.
Which is just a massive, sobering statistic.
It really is. I mean, they are falling severely behind in their physical length and height trajectories. And, you know, when you hear about pediatric undernutrition on that kind of massive scale, the instinct is to view it purely as a resource problem.
Right, like a simple lack of calories.
Exactly. We assume it is simply a lack of caloric intake, or maybe just poor access to macronutrients. But what if the key to fixing this devastating health crisis isn't just about the food that children eat?
Right, what if there's a whole other layer?
Exactly. What if it's hidden inside the exact complete genetic code of the microscopic life living in their guts? So as we get into our deep dive today, I really want you to hold on to this question. How could seeing the complete DNA of gut bacteria entirely change our understanding of human growth?
Well, I mean, it fundamentally reorients our entire approach. We've known for a while that the gut microbiome is a key player in physical development.
Sure.
But the genomic lenses we've been using, they were essentially out of focus. We could identify broad categories of bacteria, but we were completely missing the highly specific strain level instruction manuals.
The actual blueprints.
Yeah, the manuals that dictate how these microbes actually behave and adapt in real time.
It's definitely a paradigm shifting way to look at human development. And before we get too deep into the mechanisms, today we celebrate the work of the International Research Team led by the Salk Institute, UC San Diego, and Washington University in St. Louis, alongside their partners in Malawi, who have advanced our understanding of pediatric undernutrition and the gut microbiome.
And the clinical puzzle they are trying to solve here is incredibly complex. In regions like sub-Saharan Africa, and specifically in Malawi, where this cohort was tracked, the incidence of stunting can reach as high as 37%.
Which is just heartbreaking.
It is, and we're not just talking about height here. Stunting is defined scientifically as a significantly low length for age Z-score, or
right.
LAZ.
Right.
And if that undernutrition happens in the first 1,000 days of life, the stakes are just incredibly high. It causes irreversible cognitive and developmental damage.
And the missing link between the diet and this systemic growth faltering, it often comes down to a condition called environmental enteric dysfunction.
ED.
Yes, ED is a major factor.
For those of you who might be familiar with gut pathologies, ED is this chronic subclinical inflammation of the small intestine. So you get, you know, a compromised mucosal barrier.
Basically a leaky, inflamed gut.
Exactly. So even if you do a clinical intervention and provide adequate nutrients, the physical architecture of the child's intestine simply cannot absorb them. Which brings us to the microbiome link. Scientists know that this chronic inflammation is driven by dysbiosis, an imbalance in the gut bacteria.
Right.
But historically, we've had this major limitation. Up until now, traditional research used tools like 16S RNA sequencing or short-read metagenomic sequencing.
The SR method.
Right. And the problem is, short-read sequencing fragments the DNA into tiny segments. So when you try to put them back together, the assembly algorithm struggles immensely, especially with the highly repetitive regions of microbial genomes.
So to give you an analogy, using short-read sequencing is basically like trying to read a shredded book by just looking at random three-word scraps.
That's exactly what it is.
I mean, you know what words are in the book.
Yeah.
You might pull out a scrap that says metabolism, but you have no idea how the sentence is set together.
You lose the entire chromosomal architecture.
Okay, let's unpack this. Why did we desperately need a better way to read these microbial books?
Well, because that structural architecture dictates function. Many crucial adaptive genes are flanked by those repetitive sequences that the short reads just can't piece together. You just end up with hundreds of disconnected fragments.
So to fix this, the researchers completely shifted their methodology. They set up a cohort of Malawian toddlers across two different villages.
Right, Liamila and Masanjere.
Over 11 months, taking regular fecal samples, and they moved to long-read metagenomics.
Yes, the LR method. They use technologies like PacBio and Oxford Nanopore, which allow you to read long, unbroken strands of DNA.
Which I just have to say is wildly ambitious.
Oh, completely.
I mean, they were extracting high molecular weight DNA from mixed microbial communities and doing this in remote field settings, all to capture entire unbroken microbial genomes. They call them CMAGs, right?
Right, complete metagenome assembly. assemble genomes, and the sheer difference of the data output between the two methods is staggering.
Okay, so what happens when you use this long-read, basically HD camera, on the microbiome?
Well, the long-read methods produced 44 to 64 times more complete CMAGs per gigabase pair than the short-read methods.
Wait, really? That much more?
Yes. In fact, in this specific test, short reads actually produced zero complete genomes.
Zero. Wow.
Zero. Meanwhile, the long read pipeline recovered a massive 986 complete CMAGs, and 839 of them were fully circular.
Meaning there were no gaps at all.
Exactly. And this represented 363 distinct bacterial species, including 74 entirely new ones that had never been fully characterized before.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Because now we have the longitudinal health findings. The study found that this microbial genome instability correlates directly with declining linear growth.
Yes, the decreasing LAZ score.
Right. So children who were faltering in their growth, their gut microbiomes showed major genetic divergence after about 5.5 months.
Which tells us that when the gut environment becomes hostile, the bacteria don't just wait around for slow mutations. They actively swap genetic material to survive.
And this brings us to the pangenome and the strain-specific discoveries, right?
Exactly. Because we have complete genomes, we can see how specific bacterial genera carry genes tied to very specific traits. Let's take the bacteria Megaspira, for example.
Okay.
Its genetics were highly localized to the exact village the child lived in. The environment was literally selecting for specific genes.
That is wild. The soil, the water, it's all shaping the exact strains of bacteria.
Yes. And diet is an even stronger force. They found that Prevotella strains had strong genetic associations with whether the child was breastfed.
I think they specifically highlighted iron scavenging genes there.
They did. Breast milk has lactoferrin, which hides iron from pathogens. So for Prevotella to survive in a breastfed gut, it has to aggressively upregulate its own iron scavenging genes just to compete.
So the diet literally forces the bacteria to evolve these specific tools.
Exactly.
Right.
And then there's Faecalibacterium, which is crucial for gut barrier health because it produces butyrate.
Which lowers inflammation.
Right. But short reads only told us if Faecalibacterium was there or not. With these long-read CMAGs, the researchers found that specific Faecalibacterium gene variations were strongly associated with positive linear growth.
So it's not just having the bacteria. It's having the bacteria with the correct genetic tools to make the butyrate and heal the gut.
Precisely. And because the genomes were complete and circular, they made this incredible prophage discovery.
Oh, the bacterial viruses. This part is fascinating.
Yes. The researchers could spot prophages, which are bacterial viruses that have integrated themselves directly into the host bacterial genomes.
And what they found was that breastfed children had significantly more of these phage integrations in their gut bacteria.
Which sounds completely counterintuitive, right? Usually we think of viruses as purely destructive.
Yeah, you'd think a healthy gut would have fewer viruses.
But what's fascinating here is that these are temperate phages. They integrate quietly into the bacteria and actually provide benefits. They can carry metabolic genes, and they alter the bacterial surface to protect it from other lethal viruses.
So they literally act like a defense shield for the good bacteria.
Exactly. They support immune defense and barrier function in infants.
So connecting all these data points back to you, the listener, why does mapping these phages and complete genomes matter for the future? Where is this clinical future heading?
Well, it establishes a completely new standard. Instead of just noting which bacteria are present, we can now look at their exact genetic toolkits.
Right.
And this could lead to real-time, field-based molecular labs. You could predict malnutrition risk or infectious diseases on the spot. We are moving toward hyper-personalized probiotic or microbial therapies for stunted children.
Which is amazing, but I have to push back a little on the causation here.
Sure, go ahead.
We see that an unstable gut is linked to poor growth. But does an unstable gut cause the poor growth, or does the stress of poor growth and the environmental factors destabilize the gut? It feels like a chicken and egg situation.
It is, absolutely. And it's important to remember that this is the cutting edge of science where the answers are still forming. It's likely a bi-directional feedback loop.
Right. Environmental stress causes inflammation, which forces the bacteria to mutate, which worsens the gut health, and so on.
Exactly. And we also have to acknowledge the study limitations here. Generating this kind of data is hard. The deeply sequenced longitudinal cohort was small, just 8 children.
Though they did expand it to 42 for machine learning validation.
I did, yes. but we still need thousands of participants globally to account for geographic and individual variation.
And I guess we also can't assume that the non-stunted baseline in these vulnerable populations is the absolute optimal health baseline, right? They are still living in highly stressed environments.
Exactly. Their microbiomes might just be successfully adapting to a tough environment. This raises an important question about how environmental stressors directly force microbial evolution inside the human gut.
So, to synthesize this entire deep dive into a tight takeaway, long-read metagenomics is finally giving us an unprecedented complete view of the gut microbiome.
It really is a game changer.
It's revealing that specific microbial genes and the overall stability of those genomes are deeply intertwined with a child's linear growth. By tracking these complete genomes, we can finally pinpoint the exact microbial mechanisms driving pediatric undernutrition.
We can finally stop guessing and start targeting the actual biological machinery.
Exactly. So I want to end by asking you to think about what this means for the future of global health equity. If our environments literally shape the evolution of the microbes inside us, could designing healthier environments be the ultimate form of personalized genetic medicine? This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this, follow or subscribe in your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the donation link in the description. Now stay with us for an original track created especially for this episode and inspired by the article you've just heard about. Thanks for listening, and join us next time as we explore more science base by base.
Just who is living, what they carry inside, a quiet genome course where the small things decide. Piece by piece the circles close, the fragments turn to whole. A million tiny signatures under every soul, and the pattern starts to speak like thunder getting near, telling us the story we were missing when we feared. Let it run, let it pulse, let it light the line from the unseen to the real, from the data to the spine. If the code can show the cracks, we can learn to mend in time. Hear the pulse of the hidden code. Draw a path, redraw the line. Show the cracks, we can learn to mend in time. Hear the pulse.